Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Baldwin, Pennsylvania, and earned a Bachelor of Science degree and Master's in Education from the University of Pittsburgh. For 40 years, he was a football coach, of which 14 years were in the college ranks. From 1993 to 98, he was the head coach of the Chicago Bears, the Bears, and from 2000 to 2004, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Since 2014, he's been a football studio analyst on Fox NFL Kickoff Sunday. His name, Dave Wannstedt, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach Dave Wannstedt, who was a football coach for 40 years. Coach, welcome. An honor to have you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jack. It's great to be on. Great to be talking sports. Great to be talking football. And during these trying times, I think it's definitely needed as much as ever.
Let's go back to your childhood in Baldwin, Pennsylvania. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Sure. You know, I come from a big family. I'm the oldest of six. My dad worked in a steel mill, J&L Steel, back there in Pittsburgh. And it really was a town. You know, we were about 6 miles outside the city. In fact, we were close enough that when I was a kid, before I went to school, I would go out and I would have to wipe the soot off the windshield of the car. The mills back then were running 24 hours a day, three shifts a day. And it was your typical Pittsburgh steel town. And as I got older, you kind of came to the conclusion that you were either going to go work in the steel mill or you were going to get involved in athletics. And that was going to be your way out. And I remember sitting in a booth in Naples, Florida, when I was coaching the Dolphins. And in the booth we were Mike Ditka's restaurant. So there was Mike, there was Joe Namath, and Marty Schottenheimer. All of us were within 10 miles of each other in Pittsburgh. And we were talking about this exact same thing, that, you know, that football. And back then, Western PA football, you know, the names are endless. Obviously, the Marinos, the Elways, Joe Montanas, Jim Kelly's, the list is endless of players that have come out of there. And we all kind of agreed, and we were just talking that if it wasn't for football, you know, we would get 8, 10, 12,000 people to a Friday night game. And it was the event in that part of the town and in that part of the country. And it was our way out to go get an education somewhere and go from there.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, it would have to be the work ethic. You know, I mean, my dad, obviously six kids. We had a three bedroom house until he made the garage my bedroom. We blocked it off, put a little portable heater down there and put a sink in. And then that was it. Up to that point, we had six kids in a three-bedroom house. And, but there was always food on the table. My dad worked extremely hard. My mother worked a little bit on the side to try to help, you know, make ends meet. So I think that, that mentality of not taking anything for granted, of having to work hard to try to overachieve at whatever you did with whatever ability you had, I think that's just something that I grew up with and in our household was always talked about.
Speaking of sports being the way out, you went to University of Pittsburgh. You played offensive tackle from 71 to 74. Talk about those college years.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I had some opportunities coming out of high school. And, you know, I was way in the West Virginias and the Miami's and bought, you know, I had some offers, and I decided to stay close to home. And it kind of a funny story. The school that I really liked was West Virginia. And I loved Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden was the head coach at that time. And the Pitt coaches, now that I look back on it, they convinced my high school coaches, Bobby Bowden's not going to be at West Virginia very long. He's going to win and he's going to leave. And so my high school coaches, I went to Pitt. And sure enough, I think it was 1 year after I was there, Bobby Bowden won and he took the Florida State job. So, yeah, that was it was a great decision for me. And I got a chance to play a lot. And we won some games. My senior year, we actually went to a bowl game, which was the first time in about 10 years. And I was teammates with Tony Dorsett. You know, Johnny Majors came in and took over the program my junior year. So I got a chance to play for Coach Majors, was one of his first captains. And then eventually when I got into the coaching, it was because of the opportunity that he gave me. So it was a great experience. I got my education. I played football and obviously had some great relationships.
Offensive tackle in college. What did you weigh?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I weighed about 245.
Which was big.
I was drafted late by the Packers, and I was up in Green Bay after my senior year at Pitt, and we had one player on the team over 300 pounds at the Green Bay Packers. It was a guy named Mike McCoy out of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Big lineman. He was the only one. Everybody else on the team was under 300. And now you look at it, and high school kids are 300 pounds. You know, it's crazy the way it's changed.
We're talking to Dave Wannstedt, Coach Wannstedt. He was drafted by the Packers, as he said, in the 15th round, pick 376. What was the signing bonus?
Oh, it was enough for a new car. I think it was about $6,000. That's all I know. I got a brand new car out of it, and I was happy. It was a strike year, so I was up at Green Bay, and it was really difficult. I mean, we were playing a lot because the vets weren't there. And then we were playing the Dolphins, and I got hit and required some surgery. And Dan Devine was the head coach. That was his last year at the Green Bay Packers. And I think he might have went to Notre Dame after that, I believe. But, I came back and rehabbed at Pitt, and he got let go. And now Bart Starr got hired, and I was kind of debating going back there. A couple of teams in Canada wanted me to play. I had gotten married, had a little child on the way. And I remember Coach Majors called me in and said, hey, now, what are you planning on doing here? And I basically said, well, you know, see if I can make it somewhere maybe. And if I can't, I want to get into coaching. And he said to me, well, he says, if you want to get into coaching, I've got an opening, a slot open for you, but I've got to know here by like in 2 months, because once we start spring practice, I got to get somebody. So I weighed my options, and the Packers really weren't pursuing me. They brought a whole new regime in, and you know, it wasn't like it was when I was up there. And so I ended up taking the graduate assistant job with Coach Majors, and it turned out to be, we won the national championship 2 years later, and the rest was history.
We're talking to Coach Dave Wannstedt. He started coaching college 75. He coached for Pittsburgh, Oklahoma State, USC, University of Miami. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Coach Dave Wannstedt, who's a shining example of a Christian man's man. All right. What do all great coaches have in common, Dave?
Well, I think the ones that, and I've read most of the books when I was just getting into this. You know, I went through from the Tom Landrys to the Chuck Knowles to, you know, the Bill Walshes and on, Vince Lombardi's. And I think the one thing that the coaches that were able to sustain a long career, they obviously were great teachers. And you have to be a great teacher, I think, a great communicator to be a coach. I mean, it doesn't matter how much I know as a coach, or any coach knows, it's all about how can you pass that on to your players, and how can you get your players to go out and execute that on a football field. So I think number one, you got to have the personality skills to be a good teacher and a good communicator. I think another thing that's the ones that sustained it a long time, you know, they all had a sense of, I think, family ties, and they all had some type of faith. And it didn't make any difference what the denomination was, but in this profession, I'll tell you what, things are going to happen that are out of your control all the time. And, you know, my faith, I think the guys that have sustained it, you know, when I worked for Coach Shula for about 7 weeks, and he would go to mass before we would have the staff meeting. So, I mean, I reference him because most of these guys had a sense of faith. A lot of them, most of them never wore it on their sleeves. But I think that balance would be the word that I would use. That balance that they had between football and family and their faith was able to keep a perspective where they could go on, whether they won, it never got to them, and whether they lost, they were never overwhelmed with it either. So I think those qualities really are in a must.
I loved watching ESPN's The Last Dance, that 10-part segment of Michael Jordan. And
yes,
one of the things that struck me was Phil Jackson. He was a maestro, a symphony conductor, a coach, a father figure to Rodman and others. He was a teacher of basketball and life, a psychologist, a referee. You're all of those things, correct?
Yeah, you really have to be. And, you know, in college, I think it's almost more so in college. You know, and I was the head coach at the University of Pittsburgh for 6 years, and I was fortunate enough to have a lot of good players, you know, the LeSean McCoys, Darrell Revis, Aaron Donald, and these guys. When you get young men, yes, you have to be all the things that Phil was talking about, but I think the college game even calls on you more to be that fatherly figure, because you're just not saying things, but you're making a difference in young guys' lives, and I think that's a big part of coaching also. I think back in the day, even in the NFL, you could have a little bit more of an impact. Those days, I think, have changed. You know, now everybody's got agents and everyone's got those advisors, and I think it's more challenging for an NFL coach now to reach the players and really develop that relationship as compared to what it was 15, 20 years ago.
You were with Jimmy Johnson as an assistant for 18 years with Miami Hurricanes and then the Cowboys. You carried him to the Hall of Fame. Your hair and his hair. What kind of shampoo did you guys have down there?
You know what? I think back then we couldn't afford shampoo. All we used was whatever soap was in the shower. Jimmy and I talked to him 2 days ago. We talk now, well, once a week, you know, during the football season. And we, you know, we would meet out there at the Fox studios, and we would have our coffee about 4 a.m. on Sundays, and we talk about the Miami Hurricanes.
All right, speaking of which, let's go back 32 years, almost to the day. October 15th, 1988, you're in South Bend, the Catholics versus the Convicts.
Yeah.
One of the greatest games of all time. What do you remember?
Well, that was an interesting one because we were number one in the country at the time, and we had won the national championship the year before. I think they were number three. I believe West Virginia was number two. And we went up there to play them in South Bend, and we didn't have any idea about this Convicts versus Catholic T-shirts. And I remember, and I'm Catholic, so I would have known. And we pulled up in front of the stadium there to get off and go into change, and all the fans were surrounding the bus, and they were all wearing these T-shirts. And I remember halfway laughing to myself. And I knew I was Catholic, but I knew that shirt was referring to me on the other side. So it was a heck of a game. I mean, they had a lot of talent. Tony Rice and Chris Zorich and Andy Heck. I mean, they were legitimately a top team. And you know, we didn't play very good. I mean, nothing, taking nothing away, but I think we threw a couple interceptions. I know defensively we gave up a big pass play or two. We went for a fake punt and we didn't make it. You know, and it came down to the two-point conversion. But at the end of the day, you know, they made less mistakes, or, you know, than we did, or we made more than they did. And it was a heck of a football game. My whole tenure at the University of Miami, that was the only regular season game that we lost when I was there. And we lost by 1 point.
Classic. All right. Also in 1988, and I quote you now, "I walked around the pool for 35 years versus jumping in, and finally I accepted Christ."
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, you know, because I went to a Catholic school going back to Pittsburgh for my first 8 years, and all they had was basketball. So, you know, we concluded with my dad that if I wanted to play football, I'd have to go to the public school. So that's what I did. And so I always would go to Mass, and I always believed in God. I mean, that was never questioned. But here I was, and we win the year before that Notre Dame game. We win the national championship, and we beat Miami. We beat Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. And I remember staying up all night. There was two or three of us coaches. We were drinking, and we were sitting on the beach, right outside. And we were there, and everybody started leaving and stuff. And pretty soon the sun came up. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we just won the national championship. I got a wife and two great kids. People at that time were calling for job interviews. You know, I knew in the back of my mind that I would probably get an opportunity here soon. And I said to myself, geez, you know, I should be feeling a little bit more, or I should be feeling better about myself and where I was going and why I was going there. And I just felt like something was missing. That's the only way to describe it. So as we went through the season, every night, and every team does it in every sport, college and NFL, you have a chapel service. And the guy that did our chapel service at the University of Miami was a chaplain named Steve DeBarleben. I still talk to him. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. And he, just the way that he presented his message, and then Jimmy allowed him to be around. So he was at practices. He traveled with the team. And there was just something different about this guy. And so we started jogging together. We used to run at lunchtime. And so I invited him to go for a jog a couple of times, and we talked, and he asked me about my faith, and I told him what I told you, that I believed in God and this. And so a couple of weeks went by, and then I said, hey, Steve, meet me tomorrow morning. I have a cup of coffee. And we met in the baseball field. I remember like yesterday. We were sitting in the bleachers of the University of Miami baseball stadium. And I said, you know, I went through this and the wife and the jobs. And I said, there's something missing. And I think it has something to do with God. I really do. And he said, Dave, I'm great to hear you say that. And I'm going to give you this book to read. And then let's get together and have coffee once a week and start talking about this. And that started it. And I started really getting into my faith, and I started reading, you know, things in the Bible, which is from a Catholic standpoint, obviously they didn't talk about the Bible. They're more so now, but they never did back in those days. And so this was all new to me. And all of a sudden it started coming alive to me a little bit more. And there was a fear that I had, okay, could I make this commitment to Christ? How would it affect me at home? How would it affect me with the assistant coaches? How would I be, you know, would I lose something to gain? And I just decided, and that's where I came up. You know, I was walking around at the pool, and I was debating it for weeks, and I said, hey, I'm going to go for it. And so I made the commitment. And I'll tell you what, it was, to this day, I can't explain it. My relationship with my wife, my kids, I would go into the staff room with the assistant coaches and we were putting together game plans. And now the perspective was, it wasn't going to be me or, you know, trying to come up with the plan or the answer. It was, what do you think? Oh, that's a good idea. Let's try that. What do you think? And so we start pulling more and all of a sudden we become more productive. So I think that every area in my life truly was made for the better by my commitment. And then I started going to men's groups and I started going to Bible studies. And then when we all go to the Dallas Cowboys from there. And I found the chaplain there, John Weber, Athletes in Action, and I started meeting with him once a week. And then when I leave there and go to the Chicago Bears, they didn't have a chaplain. And so I brought a guy in, and we started a chapel service with the Chicago Bears. When I went to the Dolphins, they didn't have anybody. The Wake Coast did it. We started a chapel service there. I brought a guy in when I – University of Pittsburgh. So, you know, I tried to – really understanding how important it was to me. And I thought it would be these young men, whether it was NFL or college guys, to have somebody like this that was not interested in their football career, but was interested in them and their life and their family. And it's really been rewarding. It really has been.
We're talking to Coach Dave Wannstedt. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about his faith journey. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Pasula. We're with Coach Dave Wannstedt, who since 2014 has been a football studio analyst on Fox NFL Kickoff Sunday. I heard you give your testimony in Naples a while ago, and you said three words define your faith journey: trust, faithfulness, and walk. Please.
Yeah, I think that, and I was kind of that way with football. You know, I use the expression in football all the time. You know, we got to keep it simple. A clear mind, fast feet. A cloudy mind equals slow feet. And what I mean by that is that, and maybe it was just me, but I always felt like I needed to have a clear vision on what was really important and how we were going to try to do this thing. And I think that, what you know, that type of mission statement, that type of expression is – people can understand it better and people are going to respond better and you're going to get better results. So when I really started getting into my faith, we were talking about that once and I said, hey, you know, and somebody said, what would talk to me about your faith? And I said, well, I can't sit here. I'm not a preacher. I can't sit here and talk to you for an hour about Christianity and the New Old Testament and New Testament. But I can tell you that my belief comes down to three words. And it was, as you just said, Jack, it was trust. And it all starts with trusting. I mean, without having faith, blind faith, you can't establish, you can't grow as a Christian. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in my life, personal life, job life, everything, that you don't see the answer. And you pray on it, and you have to have blind faith. But then, as you go through that part, all of a sudden, you look back and you say, boy, Christ was faithful. You know, sometimes the things that you wanted that didn't work out were the best decisions. And obviously, he had a hand in it. So my second part was always that I was going to be faithful because I trusted him and I knew that he would be faithful. And so that was reaffirming. And let me just say this before I keep going. I keep a journal, even to this day. It's on my iPad. But I started a journal back at the Dallas Cowboys. And it was just about this. It was a little bit about my personal life, a little bit about my professional life, and a little bit about my Christian walk. And you know, a lot of times when you're stressed and things are going on in someone's mind, it's easy to forget how faithful God was, how faithful Christ was. And so I like to look back and say, okay, I trusted him with this, and he was faithful. So now, knowing that he's faithful, now I've got to walk the walk, and I've got to act like that we've overcome that, or that that's, you know, that we're beyond that. So those three words, it starts with trust, blind trust, and then you'll see that he will be faithful, and you'll be able to now reinforce your trust by saying, you know, Christ was faithful. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, if he's faithful and I've trusted him, now I've got to walk that walk. It sounds oversimplified, but that's the way I can keep things in perspective.
In late 1992, the McCaskey family fires the Pitt Panther, right, the coach, Mike Ditka. And on January 19th, 93, you replace this living legend, okay, the coach, and you become the Bears head coach. How do you replace a living legend?
Well, it's tough. And I remember hearing Joe Gibbs say at one time, players win games, not coaches. You know, you got to have players. And the toughest thing that we were faced then was, you know, I remember the first mini camp I had with the Bears. We went out to Mesa, Arizona because of the weather. It was in March and it was cold and snowing here. We didn't have an indoor facility at the time. And there was 14 players that were on that team that we had that had played in that Super Bowl team in 85. So there were a lot of guys, the Ron Riveras of the world, that their careers were over. So different than college, where college you can bring in 25, as Pete Carroll likes to say. Pete Carroll says, I can recruit 25 first-round draft picks every year in college. But in the NFL, you know, you get one first-round draft pick. So we cleaned the roster, and we were trying to build it up, and things happened. You know, you have a window of opportunity. Every coach does, and that window to hit it big might be 2 years, it might be 4 years, it might be 6 years. Not very often, but in my third year, we went to the playoffs. My second year, we won a playoff game. My third year, we go 9-7, but my fourth year, it was the best team that I had. And we actually spent some money. We brought in a few free agents, and we opened up with the Dallas Cowboys to start that season on Monday Night Football in Soldier Field. And we beat the Cowboys, and it was Troy and Emmett and the whole crew. They had won the Super Bowl the year before. And so we won that game, I think 17-13, 17-14. And 2 weeks later, Eric Kramer, our quarterback, who had set 16 passing records the year before, he breaks his neck. And he's out for the year. And Dave Craig takes over, who was my age at the time. God bless him. Good player. And we go 7-9, and then we lose players and free agents, and that was the beginning of the end. So, I mean, that was the window to hit it. And if you look around the NFL, and college not as bad, but the NFL, you can pretty much tell when, you know, when that window of time is that these coaches have to hit it, and playoffs isn't good enough. It's got to be a Super Bowl run or nothing.
We're talking to Coach Dave Wannstedt. And in 2000, Wayne Huizenga hires him to coach the Miami Dolphins. When we come back, we're going to talk about that chapter of his life. And I'm Jack Rasulo, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasulo, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. and Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoholm.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Coach Dave Wannstedt, who coached for 40 years. He'd been a part of 20 winning teams, 10 bowl teams, 6 National Football League playoff teams, 2 national champions, Pitt in 76, University of Miami in 87, and 1 Super Bowl champion, Dallas Cowboys. So 2000, Wayne Huizenga had founded Waste Management and Blockbuster. He'd done okay. He hires you to be the next Coach Don Shula.
Right.
Talk about that chapter.
Well, I tell you what, it was pretty exciting because Jimmy had retired and we had a nucleus of some good defensive players, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, and obviously we had the Dan Marino was, his career was over. You know, he was going to retire. He was going to step aside. So the biggest challenge was redoing the offense. And so we went out and finding quarterbacks in the NFL that can come in, everybody thinks that Peyton Manning's out there, you know, looking for a job. And I hired Chan Gailey, who is now he's back at Miami as the offensive coordinator. And Chan, we came to a conclusion that Jay Fiedler, who was at Jacksonville, gave us the best chance to improve and win doing what we wanted to do on offense, which was a lot of quarterback runs and movements and so forth. So we bring Jay in, and right off the bat, the players responded, and we end up our first year. We go 11-5, and we win the division, and then we beat Indianapolis in a playoff game. We go to the second round of the playoffs. So we are on our way, and just had a great experience. I mean, you talk about, you know, coming from Chicago where we were having a tough time winning the game to going to the second round of the playoffs and winning a division was exciting. So we were we had a good foundation and we were on our way.
All right. In 2005, after 16 years in the NFL, you decide to go back to college and coach your alma mater. Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. I lived in Pittsburgh 23 years until I went to Oklahoma State to coach with Jimmy. And Penn had talked to me probably 4 times, Jack, about the job. And I was to the point in my career where, you know, I said to my wife, you know, this might be a different challenge, but it might be the most rewarding challenge. And so I initially turned the job down, and then they came back and talked again. So I took the job, and I knew it was going to be a rebuilding job. And sure enough, I mean, within 3 years, we were going to bowl games and we were getting great players and we were graduating players. And it was fantastic. And then as this business goes, you know, the guy that hired me, the athletic director, left and went to Arkansas, and they brought somebody else in and kind of got into a little bit of a philosophy difference. And at that time, I was doing it just because it was my alma mater. And so it didn't work out. It fizzled out. But I really had the team coming up. My last recruiting class was Aaron Donald and that crew. So, I mean, we were getting some great players. And it was a shame. But I'll tell you what, the 6 years that I was there, I mean, to this day, on Father's Day, I'm getting texts from players to this day. And then I was texting with LeSean McCoy 2 weeks ago when he was up there at Tampa. You know, Deion Lewis, when he signed with the Giants last year, he texted me up there. So my relationship with these players is still outstanding, and I think that's why I took the job, and I wouldn't change that for anything.
You coached for 40 years. What's the biggest thing you learned in those 40 years?
Oh, a good quarterback can win a lot of games for you, and I was hard-headed about that. I was convinced you could win with defense and run the ball. But from a football standpoint, I'm halfway kidding. But you know what? The fundamentals haven't changed, Jack. I mean, it's still a game of blocking and tackling. I really believe that. And the relationships with the coaches and the players, I mean, you know, it's so tough in today's game. You know, if you got to have everybody kind of go in the same direction. It's got to be the owner, the athletic director. It's got to be the trainer. It's got to be the equipment guys. Everybody needs to be going the same direction on the bus. And, you get into some situations where that doesn't happen. And you can waste a lot of time and energy in trying to figure out what the problem is. And usually it's right in front of your face.
Since 2014, you've been a football studio analyst on Fox's NFL Kickoff Sunday. How did you get that gig?
Sunday. Tune in. Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock Eastern time on Fox. You'll see us. Yeah, how about that? You know, when you're coaching, you're a moron. No, and then all of a sudden you get on TV and you get a microphone in front of you, Jack, and now you're an expert. You're a genius overnight. It's amazing, you know? But, no, it was good. I actually got hired by Fox to do college football. And then someone quit that was doing an NFL show. And being that I was out there, they said, hey, could you jump in and do this NFL show? And I finished out the year doing it. And they asked me to come back and do it the following year. And now I'm going on my, I think, eighth year of doing TV. And I do Bear stuff here all week. I got a show with the Bears. I got two radio shows, so I keep busy in Chicago during the week, and then it's LA every weekend. It's good. I'm very blessed. That's the only way to sum it up, because those opportunities are tough to get, and I'm fortunate that I'm still getting my football fix, being with people that I enjoy being with, and you know, don't have the pressure, obviously, to do coaching.
Speaking of being blessed, how has God been using you these last several years to reach the NFL players, coaches, and fans?
You know what? Probably, I mean, I don't know. I attend a men's group up here. We talked about, you know, I saw you in Naples. I attend one down there, and we were doing the Zoom stuff. And then there's a group of men up here, executives, and they meet downtown Chicago, and they're all CEOs. They're all working. I'm probably the only guy that's semi-retired. And we meet in a big office building here, about 15, 20 of us. And have a little chapel service once a week, and I'll do things on the radio, or if I can, I do some volunteer stuff. You know, it depends on the situation. I'm not I'm not out there on a daily basis or a weekly basis doing anything. But when the opportunity presents itself, I'm all in.
Coach Dave Wannstedt, thanks for being a shining example of a Christian man's man. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Go Lions.
Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon. Good.